Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Show. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. And as you know, Vibe stands for vision, intention, belief, and expectation, because it's all about your vibration. So straight off the bat, I want to ask you, what do you want? And the reason why I'm asking you that is because I want you to focus on what you want as opposed to being in a mode of complaint. So today I have got an amazing guest. His name is Dizzy Taylor. I keep feeling like I want to say Dizzy Rascal. And you can see this gorgeous gentleman at my side. I'm going to introduce him. He is Dizzy Taylor, son of President Gujarati Hindu Society from Preston, currently residing in Manchester. After traveling around the world, his journey began at 17, where he started as an apprentice in a Preston hairdresser's. But he couldn't resist the stories of London and its bright lights. So an invitation or suggestion from his father to go to live with his aunt was irresistible. 10 years of meticulous hairdressing and having a salon in West London for 3 years, Dizzy felt it was time to hang up the scissors and clippers, pursuing another career after meeting Anthony Robbins. This journey took him around the world, where South Africa became home, until his father called him home for his brother's engagement. He ended up back in his hometown of Preston after meeting his wife. He went back to his scissor skills and spent 10 years with two shops, Preston and Manchester, 35 staff and 7 apprentices later, it's time to get back to the real spiritual advice. And that's why you're here.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm so happy to have you here, Dizzy Taylor.
Well, and, you know what? I'm going to say that there is so much magic here already, because
yes,
I didn't realize, but we met 17 years ago in another life. We have now been reunited on the same path.
Exactly.
To now. And, you know, that it's only been, what, 3 or 4 days? It was Saturday that we met again. It was magic. Everything we did that day was effortless.
Serendipity, yes.
And it was amazing. So it was only natural that we came here, because I do a show, you do a show, you've written 2 books, I've written 2 books, I've only published 1 yet.
Uh-huh.
So it seems as though we've been on the same path
for 17 years. Running parallel, right?
Yes, we have. And it's just great to be here. So thank you, Valerie, for having me on your show. And I love the name of the show, The Secret Vibe Show. I love everything you're doing.
Thank you so much. Well, actually, you know what? I'm actually having another book launch on the 9th of October. So that's literally in a few weeks' time. I've revised my very first book, She's Got That Vibe. And the second book was called The Blind Spot. It was part of an anthology. And then my last book, The Masterpiece, because I really felt like it was just so downloaded through me. It's called The Difference. Wow. And this book is a revised version. So yes, it's been an amazing journey. But it was even more amazing meeting you. I would say, not to say that I hadn't kind of like, because we're in the same business, another business that we're involved in.
Yeah.
And you and I got talking, and you mentioned to me the name John D. Martini. And then I realized, wow, he's actually on the same spiritual journey as me, because I'm always talking about the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, guys, that it would be amazing for us to just have a wrap, just talk today about the law of attraction, that spiritual advice that we can both impart to you today. So over to you, Dizzy.
You mentioned The Secret and the law of attraction. So my journey with that began when I was 19, but I'm going to skip forward to when I was 30, I think when I was 30, because when I was living in South Africa, my partner at the time, she was a lawyer. And the kind of nature of the businesses that we've been involved with, they're not conventional to conventional people. Mm. So she was a conventional person. And she said to me, why don't you go and do this speed reading course by this guy called John DeMartini. He's from The Secret. And The Secret had just come out at that time.
Yes, so yes.
It was very, you know, secret heavy. You know, watch the DVD, and the traffic lights were always green for me now. When you start testing it out and you think, oh, it works.
Yeah.
It works,
or the car space, right? Or that car space. Yes, I'm going to chat to car space.
Yeah, that I'd gone through that process. And then she said to me, I lived in Cape Town, and this guy, John DeMartini, was going to be teaching speed reading. She goes, why don't you learn how to read quickly? Then you can do something proper instead of these things that you do, right? So I was like, cool, I'm going to go and I'm going to meet this guy. So it was a Thursday morning. And the first thing he does is he assesses your reading speed. How fast do you read now? And then we'll test it again. So I was 45 words a minute. I'd only ever read four books in 16 years. I was 32 at the time, that's it. I'd only ever read four books. And every time I got a book, I fall asleep. But I bought loads of books and they were on the shelf. Mm. But they were self-development books, but it was really shelf development.
Yeah, yes. Development. that's what I was thinking. Shelf development.
I felt clever because I bought the book. You know, some of you may buy all these amazing books, put them on the shelf and look at them and think, yeah, I'm so good.
You're the man.
So, cut a long story short, he took me from 45 words a minute to 450 words a minute in 2 hours. He 10x'd my reading speed. And I said to him at the end, I was like, mate, who are you? You just 10x my reading speed. He taught me how to read from my stomach. He gave me a philosophy on reading that would, honest to God, it's mind-blowing.
And through your stomach?
Yeah. We'll go through it another time.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Honest to God, it's the most craziest thing I've ever done. So, and at the end of it, I said to him, who are you? And his exact words were, if you'd like to spend 24 hours with me, I have a program this Saturday, Sunday, called the Breakthrough Experience. You can spend 24 hours with me. So I was like, mate, I rang my girlfriend up and I said, listen, I'm not coming home till Monday. Yeah. I am going to be on this guy's seminar. So this was on Thursday. I had Friday to kill. And when I say kill, I was angry with an individual in the company that was stopping lots of people from getting paid. A lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, the people we used to work for, right?
Yes. Way back then.
So if you imagine times that by 10, I'm in a position and lots of people are not getting paid and I'm angry with this.
I remember that time well. Yes.
I'm angry with one particular individual in South Africa. On a Friday, I'm agreeing to meet him and I've got complete negativity against this guy. He won't agree to meet me. And then Saturday morning, I've got to go to John's seminar.
Mm-hmm.
So I get into John's seminar, starts Saturday morning. By 10 o'clock, he's gone through some ideas of life. And then he says, write down somebody or something that you have a negative charge on.
Look at that. You were not there by accident.
I put his name in there. And 12 hours later, at 9 o'clock in the evening, I had nothing but love and gratitude for this individual. And then I hope that my children have the same qualities as him. And I said to John, how the hell have you just done that?
New perspective. Brand new perspective.
Because the thing is, we'd come from a place in life where if you think positive, you get positive results.
Right.
If you think you get positive results. You think positive, you have to think positive to have a positive life.
Yes.
So John put that on its upside down. He said, it's not true. He said, look, they filmed me for 30 hours for The Secret. They featured me for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot more to it than just that.
Yes, of course, yeah.
You can't actually get rid of negativity.
Yeah, impossible. Yeah.
It's like having a one-sided magnet. You know, positive only exists because of negative. Yeah. They both
focus on it.
The yin and yang. You can't have one without the other.
Exactly. You can't have left without right, right? It's funny that you say that. You know what? Because my first book, is actually, the foreword for my book is actually by Raymond Arend, and he was also filmed for The Secret. But when they edited it together, they cut him out, just as Esther Hicks. They were also interviewed for The Secret as well. And then, like you said, it was just cut down to a small amount of time. So that's pretty interesting.
So that was my, and it's funny because that was in 2007.
Mm.
And my dad today, as he was clearing the garage out, he found my old Demartini book.
Mm.
And he opened it and he read on there, in that workbook, you work on your mission statement, as in,
yes.
Who are you and what's your purpose in life?
Mm.
And 2007, everything I'd written in that book, I'm living that now.
Wow. So that really was your true, authentic mission. Yes. Yeah.
But look, my first experience of law of attraction, and mm-hmm. look, all of us will do this, right? It happened this for me when I was 19 in a hair salon, okay?
Mm.
We think about someone and they show up.
Or yes.
We think about someone and they ring, right? That's a coincidence, okay?
Mm. Is it a coincidence?
Brush it off. Most people brush it off and carry on, right? I did not brush it off. I said to my friend, hold on a second. How did that happen? I just thought about something and they called. Mm. What if I think about what I really want?
Yeah.
Will it really happen?
Mm.
And I said, okay, let me try the experiment. So bearing in mind, I'm 19, I'm young, I'm in a salon with ladies and one other guy.
Was this before you met John DeMartini or after?
Oh, this is before John DeMartini.
Right, okay.
John came a lot later. This is 19. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just a young, hungry guy.
Yes.
Left home. So put it into perspective, I was the president's son
in mm-hmm. Preston.
I was a naughty boy. So I got asked to leave politely. Go and live with your auntie in London.
Politely.
Anyway, so when I got there,
mm-hmm.
the first thing that happened was I realized I wasn't the president's son.
Mm.
My wife, nobody knew my dad.
Mm.
Everything I did, people were telling my mum and dad what I did. Did you know your son was doing this?
Wow.
Did you know this? Did you know that?
Mm.
So now I got to London. Guess what? Nobody knows who my dad is. Do you know who my dad is? Nope. No one knows who my dad is.
Yes, so guess yes.
what? I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, man. Is that how it felt to you?
Oh, my God.
You see? Naughty boy. Naughty young man.
You understand.
Well, I understand, though. I understand.
Be a naughty boy in London.
Offline. Mm-hmm.
And to be able to do anything was just the perfect scenario. So the experiment was, I said to my mate, look, I want to meet a 32-year-old woman in the salon, which is not a coincidence, it's not a off chance, there's lots of women, it's going to happen. But I want a 32-year-old woman to ask me out for dinner, okay?
You are intentional.
That's the thought. Let's see how quick that happens, because if that happens now, it's not a coincidence. I've just been thinking about a 32-year-old woman asking me out for dinner.
Yes.
My boss says, Dizzy, do something to attract some more customers into the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I've got an idea. So I went to the newsagents next door. I bought some chalk. I went outside the shop. I did two eyes and a smiley face, right? Did a little smiley face. As I finished the smile, this lady walking past stopped and she started smiling. She goes, that's a really good idea. And I was like, cool. Does it make you want to get a haircut? She went, no. She goes, but what are you doing on Sunday? And I was like, nothing in mind. What did you have in mind? She went, do you fancy coming for something to eat?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't mind. I said, just out of curiosity, I don't normally ask ladies how old they are, but how old are you, please? She said, I'm 32. I looked at my watch and I thought, 7 minutes.
Wow. I've got to give you a high five for that, you know.
Yeah. But that wasn't the magic. See, that was the magic, but you must have been to Tony Robbins or seminars and stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I've done all that. I've even got a similar story to that about attracting a cup of coffee and being really intentional about it. And going into a seminar, I can't remember who it was at that time. I think it was Andy Harrington. And I said, I'm going to attract a cup of coffee today. Walked into the room. I was late. I was at the back. And then they said, right, there's an intermission. And then this guy just walked up to me and said to me, would you like a cup of coffee? And you know what the funny thing is? The guy's name was Kofi, K-O-F-I. How funny is that?
So
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then what happened? The dinner on Sunday mm-hmm. was in Southall Broadway, and it wasn't just me and her. It wasn't a romantic dinner.
Yeah.
It was me plus about another 25 people all eating a buffet at a Lahori Karai on Southall Broadway, which I thought, okay, cool. I had some food, and then we all got escorted upstairs to like a function room, and then everyone sat classroom style. And this one guy put an arrow to the soft part of his throat, mm-hmm. and then he leaned against the wall, and he goes, right, I'm going to lean forward now. And everyone's like, no, no, no. And he mm-hmm. snapped the arrow. And he goes, right, who else wants to have a go?
Mm-hmm.
So a couple other people did it. And then he got a board out for everyone to do board breaking.
Yep, done that, yeah. Every
room did the board breaking. Mm. Smashed it. And then the guy called Emilio, he said, right, if I was to organize everybody to walk on hot coals barefooted, how many of you would do it? Mm-hmm. Everyone put their hands up, including me. Anyway, then he left, and this other guy called Raj turned up, and he goes, right, can everyone get your new skin packs out, please? I was the only person in the room without a new skin pack.
What is that?
It's a network marketing company that
sells that's what I was thinking. Yeah, NU, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard of it. Mm-hmm.
So I'm the only one without a pack. So he goes to me, right, where's your pack, mate? And I said, oh, I don't have one. He goes, well, you need to buy one. I said, how much is it? He went, £55. I said, no, thanks, mate. I'm all right. He goes, okay, well, you have to leave then. I said, no problem. He goes, listen, thanks for the seminar, mate. It was amazing. And thanks for the food.
Yeah.
So I left. But what happened for me was that was a motivation session I know now to motivate people in network marketing that are sales agents to go out and sell more.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
thought that I would be a good prospect.
Right.
But she brought me to the training.
Mm.
She pitched me on the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the motivation, and that was the compounding effect for, hold on a second, you think about stuff and it happens.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. Yeah,
so at 19, I'm thinking, I said to my mom and dad, I said, listen, I figured it out. You know, I was that clever 19-year-old that knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
Please shut up. You kids think you know everything. You think you know how the world works, yeah?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
We say it now to kids. Listen, you're young. You think you know everything, eh? You wait till you wake up and grow up in life, eh? Wait till you get a job. Wait till you have to get a mortgage. Wait till you have to do all these things.
Wait till you get conditioned.
And all of that. And my dad was saying to me, you're going to run out of energy. And I'm saying to him, Dad, you don't understand it. I figured it out. Mm-hmm. Life is like being on a conveyor belt. And whatever you think about, if you aren't awake, you can just pick it as you're moving. Pick, pick, pick.
Yes.
So this is my understanding when I was 19.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is before The Secret.
Yeah. And this is so good that you got it so young as well. Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, when I was 21, I remember my dad's brother said to me, he goes, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And where do you see yourself in 10 years? And I was 21 at the time. And I remember, had he not have asked me that question, those coordinates of what I wanted to do would never have been put in.
Mm.
Where you want to be, and John eloquently puts it, the person who can hold the image of what they want long enough for it to appear will have it.
Yes, yeah. And so that's where the focus...
Yeah, can you hold the image of what you want long enough for it to appear? Because you can't be what you can't see.
Yes, exactly.
You have to see it to be it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and in my world, my life's experience, you come across so many people, right? And I think there's only two types of people. There's people who see it before it arrives, and mm-hmm. there's those people who have to see it in order for them to believe it.
Yes, yeah.
So I believe things without them manifesting.
Yeah,
I can see in here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to see it in here before it comes out here.
Yeah,
and the law of the universe, I think, is if you are that way as a person, you will attract a partner that's completely opposite to you, mm-hmm. that does not believe that at all, and you bang your head around.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
I think that is because we have to love everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everything is created by God or the source, that means the good, bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm. God, right? Well, we live in an all-inclusive universe.
Yeah. So the thing is, we as human beings, and this is just what I've learned from John and other great teachers, the common denominator is we all live based on a set of priorities of what's important to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can look at lots of relationships and you'll always find one partner will find loads of things important and the partner will find them really, really boring.
Mm.
And they'll be the opposite, right? So there's things that my wife loves. I just think it's boring. It just does not excite me.
She loves it. It excites her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the thing is, tidying up is not exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's exciting for her.
Tidying up.
No, but it's just, I'm just picking up a small thing, right?
No.
But the thing is, we all have things that we love. And mm-hmm. One of the biggest regrets I've had in my life is not reading Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus a lot sooner than
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, I love that book. Yeah. Yeah,
because that would have saved me a load of crap, wouldn't it?
Like, mm.
It would have saved you so much. I've said to so many guys that have got issues with their missus, say, look, have you read Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus? No, mm-hmm. Read that and then have a look. Because if every issue you've got with your missus is already in a book from 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
What does that tell you? That means that, listen, what you're going through, it's not new, mate.
Yeah, it's not new, exactly.
It's not new. Yeah,
the five love languages, that's a good one as well, if you've not read it. Read that one by Gary Chapman. It's funny, you know, you were talking about writing down in a book. A couple of days ago, I found this book here. I don't know if it looks familiar to you.
Is it called?
It's a book.
Oh, The Secret. I used to have that one.
Right, so it's a gratitude book, right?
Yes.
So anyway, it's got this red line. I hadn't seen it for ages. And my granddaughter was just playing around with some stuff. And then this book was just on the settee. And I thought, where'd you get that? Anyway, I'm going to open it up to the page and you'll understand when I read it what it says. It says, I am so happy and grateful now that I am paid large spurts of cash that come at me on a continual basis, allowing me to wash my debts away by means of a system that suits my skills perfectly, making me very passionate about what I do in serving others. I enjoy making money through serving others.
Wow,
that's crazy, right?
And music in your ears.
That's what I wrote. That's what I wrote in this book all those years ago. And I've got pages that just I am so happy and grateful, like pure gratitude. You know, I diligently write it every day. Crazy, right?
It's not a coincidence that me and you are both sat here. Yep. With evidence of stuff we've written down. It's true today.
I know.
It's not a joke.
No, it's real. And I love teaching this stuff because I just want everyone to get it, you know? Because what a lot of people do, they say they want this and then they think, oh, it's not coming. And just that thought, it's not coming, they've actually derailed themselves and put themselves on another path. Yeah. And God's universe says, well, your wish is my command. No, you're not going to get that. So it's like everything that they've sown, they've uprooted it.
Yeah.
Because they've changed their focus. And it's like what you said, if you keep your mind or hold that image in your mind and just be patient, it has to come to pass because spiritually you already have it. You've already got it. It's done. It's in the bag. But all you're now doing is waiting for the manifestation of it. But you've got to stay in personal alignment in order to achieve it. You've got to stay in personal alignment, having that vibe of peace, love, and joy, be able to have it manifest in your life.
I mean, one of my friends sent me a video a little while ago on how to manifest things, okay? And I said to him respectfully, look, you don't need to show me a video how to manifest.
Mm.
You don't need to show anybody how to manifest because everyone is manifesting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
The life you currently have, you manifested that.
But not consciously, that's the thing, you know, intentionally.
Your troubles and the situation, you manifested that because you're not aware of your thoughts. If you become aware of what you're thinking,
absolutely,
you'll realize you're creating your future.
Yes, yes.
So you have to create a different future in this reality, even though it may not seem real, in order to create the next one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can be grateful for that one to then create the next one and the next one. And, you know, for me, I think starting the day with gratitude has got to be the most powerful way to start.
Yes, that gets you straight back into alignment. Straight. You know, like one of the things that I say to my ladies is that, you know, they come to me because they get to the point where they're just sick of their results. And they get to a point and I say, are you aware now that you're the common denominator of all your relationships? Like, they're your results. So if they're your results, then you need to change your vibe, because your vibe is based on how you feel about yourself, and you can't outmatch the love that you have with yourself. So it's like, let's look at what vibe you're projecting out. And one of the vibes is around masculine and feminine energy. So women, you know, a lot of them are in their masculine energy and they're projecting it out, and then they complain and say, well, why do I attract men who feel intimidated by me? Or I clash with them all the time. But they don't realize that that energy that they're projecting, masculine energy, the universe just looks at them and say, oh, is that how you want to feel? I'll give you more reason to feel that way. Send to you a feminine, effeminate type man, or someone who's going to feel intimidated by you. So it's just this whole cycle, and they're not aware of what they're actually doing. And it's like, you know, now I kind of focus on helping women to kind of step into their feminine vibe, and just to understand how the law of attraction works.
I mean, it is a mirror. Whatever is going on, take responsibility and it will change.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I had issues with my missus, I looked at not where she's at, where she's wrong. How can I be a better guy?
So she responds better.
Because if I'm a proper guy, if I'm being me, if I'm being my masculine energy instead of being a feminine energy guy, because, look, as a hairdresser, I could be very feminine.
But there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with being in your masculine or your feminine energy. We each have that within us, but it's just recognizing the difference between the two. It's not gender specific. You could have a same sex relationship and you'll always find that one is more masculine than the other.
Yes.
You know? So masculine energy is about getting things done. It's solution orientated. It's competitive energy. It's giving energy. Whereas feminine energy is receiving energy, and it's nurturing, and it's, you know, basking in your radiance and kind of like building on yourself. Both excellent energies that come together and bond. But what I find is that the women that I coach, they don't know how to let go of that masculine energy when they want to attract the masculine in the guy. But both are needed. We interweave. It's like yin and yang. We need both. It's like what you began with saying, you know, if you've got left, you need the right, up knees down, you know? So it's a very, very fascinating subject, but all to do with the law of attraction, always at work. Fascinating space.
You've got the third book coming out. What did you say the title of that is?
Oh, it's called She's Got That Vibe, but it's a revised version.
Right, so it's a revised version of that.
And the woman who's got that vibe is the woman who understands how the law of attraction works. And it's like, you know, you probably maybe you've experienced it or even witnessed it, where there's these women who just seem to attract men around them effortlessly. Like quality men. And sometimes as women, it's like you look and you think, well, how is she doing that? She's not more beautiful than myself or more intelligent. How does she actually do that? And it's because her vibe goes before her, you know.
Well, I can't relate to that, but I can relate to attracting lots of quality women.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're married.
No, not at all.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I've understood who you are. And who you become is what you will attract.
Yeah.
And life.
Because how you feel about yourself is
yeah.
your being in the moment is who you are. Yeah.
I think a good way of finding out how comfortable you are with yourself, and I learned this of Les Brown, is when someone gives you a compliment, how do you take it?
Mm.
If you put yourself down as soon as somebody gives you a compliment, you're lowering your worth.
Yes, exactly.
And if you shy away from it, that's like, oh no, you don't want the spot. I don't want to be seen. Don't say nice things about me.
I know.
My wife is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's such a caring, nice individual that if you give her a compliment, she'll shy away from it. No, that's not
And I think that's to do with conditioning. Like growing up, we were almost told like, it's almost, you don't own your beauty, you know, like it's a bad thing to do. Like if someone says to me, oh, Valerie, you're beautiful. Once upon a time I would have been like, but now it's like, to God be the glory, because I didn't create myself. But I just say thank you, to God be the glory, you know. And it's about just accepting that, not in an arrogant way, but in the humbleness of how God created you, you know. So I think more women need to just kind of accept. It's about accepting who you are, the truth of who you are. Yeah.
And the truth is, you're an unlimited being with so much beauty and potential. You'll be scared, really, when you see what you're actually capable of doing. Because what we did on Saturday on that webinar, 1,000 leaders, I said to myself after, that is the scariest task I've had to just overcome.
But you embraced it. You were fantastic. You totally embraced it.
It was beautiful, because it was a challenge. It was a growth. It was a case of, you know, I'm stepping up now, because I made a declaration on June the 1st that I want to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
So it takes something big to do that. World's a big place. Well, guess what? I'm going to be big enough to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah.
So
universe heard you and said, all right, here you go.
There you go. Deal with these 1,000.
It's everything, doesn't it? Tonight,
I've got a meeting and I'm talking to the government of Fiji.
Wow. Wow.
We've got 4 government ministers from the Fiji Islands talking to us about a system that we have that could be used on in their government, in their country.
Really? Wow.
So So we've got government ministers having a meeting tonight with from Fiji. So it just tells you, the moment you are ready to take on the world, the world will be offered on a plate.
That's right. Yeah. It's funny, because I'm going to Nigeria October the 26th on a trade mission, and we're going to be met by government officials and you know, governors. So it's, I don't know, we're just like, we're in this similar path. Dizzy. Yeah.
So what's your background? Are you Nigerian?
No, my parents are from an island called St. Vincent in the Caribbean.
Okay.
And so this will be my second trip to Nigeria. Attended a couple of...
Nigeria is an interesting place, you know.
Yeah, I've been to Kenya.
I lived in Kenya before. For 3 years. And at the beginning, when I first arrived, my friends were mixed. By the end of my 3 years, all my friends were Nigerian, okay? I don't know how it happened, but it just turned out the Nigerians were more real than everybody else I met. Because you knew where you stood with them straight away. So I spent probably 6 months with just, I mean, they said to me, listen, you're coming to Nigeria with us, yeah? They were going to take me, I was going to do a New Year's Eve in Lagos, or I think it was at the, they just changed their capital city from Lagos to Abuja.
Yes. Oh, wow.
That was the time in 2008, Obama just coming to power. Africa was on fire because of everything that had gone on.
Yeah.
TD Jakes had just come to South Africa. So I met loads of Americans in this hotel. And it was funny because, well, I've just forgotten what I was going to say.
You know, I've always wanted to go to South Africa.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I bet. And so I remember someone saying, oh, the crime rate's really, really high. You don't want to be going to... Not to say that that put me off. No. I still want to go to South Africa. But that that was supposed to be 2 years ago, but it just didn't pan out in the end because I was supposed to go with a group of people.
Yeah, no, but so all my friends ended up being Nigerian while I was there. And I remember I wrote my book in Johannesburg in a hotel called the Michelangelo, and I'd just been taught speed reading. So I was now going to teach speed. I was teaching speed reading in South Africa, in Johannesburg. And I put my advert in the biggest bookshop in Johannesburg at the till. So everyone who came to buy a book saw my advert because it was on the till. I was cheeky. And I said, can I put this here? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this guy rang me up and he was this is unique to Nigeria, but he said, look, I've just seen your advert. I need to speak to you. I said, well, I'm in the Michelangelo. Come over. So he came over and he goes, look, I don't want to buy your book, but I don't want to do your course, but I want to speak to you because he said, I've read over 27,000 books. He said, I am Nigeria's knowledge manager. He said, we are the only country in the world that has somebody to manage all the knowledge that is there. Because there's so much knowledge, who is there to manage it? And he was the knowledge manager of Nigeria.
I've never heard of that.
And he's read 27,000.
How do you do that?
He was just a beast as far as reading's concerned.
How old was he?
He was in his late 30s. But, I mean, John D. Martini's read 30,000 books.
Wow.
If you're obsessed,
you can do it.
I mean, this gentleman was obsessed. But
That's a lot of knowledge.
Nigeria is a unique country because they do things in a different way. But the knowledge of some of the individuals and the systems they have in place, they're making things work.
It's
necessary.
I'm looking forward to it.
Inquire about the knowledge manager.
Because
he was the only person that could have filled that role because of his extensive reading.
Wow.
Amazing.
And I love reading. So, you know what? Would you believe it or not, we've actually run out of time for half an hour show, but we clicked so well, it just sped past.
Okay.
What would you like to leave as a parting message for our listeners? Like, how can they get hold of your book or how can they get hold of you?
The book you can't get hold of yet because it's going for its second edition.
Okay.
We'll revise it. You can catch me at dizzytaylor.com. or igetdizzy.com, either.
How are you spelling Taylor? Can you spell it for our listeners?
Taylor with a T-A-I-L-O-R, Dizzy Taylor. Dizzy, just imagine a tailor stitching and then spinning round, that's me.
Dizzy Taylor. I love that.
Or you can go to igetdizzy.com. So look, what I would like to do, Valerie, is I do a show called Sit Down Sundays where we talk about transformation. So I know you do relationship coaching, and I know there's lots of people out there that want to transform their relationships. So I'd like to invite you to my show. Now I've been on your show.
Yes, I'd love to. Absolutely.
On relationships. Does that sound good?
Fantastic. Yes. It's a yes. Cool.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you. And let's keep transforming.
I just want you to tell me, what would be your parting words to the listeners on the law of attraction?
Write down where you want to be.
Write it down
in a sense that you're grateful to where you've got to. So imagine where do you want to be 5 years from now, 1 year from now? Write down as if you're there. I'm so grateful that now I've got this. I mean, one of the exercises John says is if you go into the future, the more detail you have. So if you can create an image of your life in the future, what does your bedroom look like? When you open the window, open the curtains, what's the view like? What does your bathroom look like? When you go out of your bedroom, do you go downstairs or are you in a bungalow? When you go downstairs, what do your stairs feel like? When you go downstairs into your kitchen, what's inside your fridge?
Feel
when
it.
You look at your phone,
everything.
How much is in your bank account? Cars in your garage, how many cars are in your garage? The more details you can construct about your future, the higher probability you're going to get it.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dizzy Taylor. It's been absolutely fantastic having you on the show. And I'm looking forward to being on your show.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Guys, it's been we've had an amazing time. Have a wonderful day. And as always, the divine in me bows to the divine in you. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.